All right. Who's ready for Sermon on the Mount Part 2? Don't worry, the guys will be setting some stuff up to help me preach a lot better. You guys thought it was just me up here. No, they make me look really good. Let's give it up for all those behind-the-scenes people. They make me look way better than I am. I was thankful because I couldn't remember if the bulb was actually working. So all morning, I should have said something, I guess, earlier instead of right now. Like, we should check it right now, make sure it works. It does. I should have probably said something earlier, but my mind works crazy. I've already introduced myself. My name is Sean Jensen. I get the pastor here with my beautiful wife, Liz, who is just up here, and we love our church. And when I say that, I mean it. We love the people in our church. You guys are amazing people. And so I just have the privilege of serving you guys through God's word every week. And we started a brand new series, a season we're going through called the Sermon on the Mount. I wanted to come up with something clever, really cool. I was going to call it the best message ever preached, but I just felt like in my heart, God was just trying to say, just preach about the Sermon on the Mount. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And so I didn't come up with something clever. I just felt like God wanted us to look in Matthew 5 this month. And then next month we will start a brand new series called Shuffle. And then in the next month we'll come back to Sermon on the Mount Part 2. Then we'll go to another series. And then we'll come back and do on Part 3. And then we'll finish up in December with Part 4. And so we'll be gone through the whole Sermon on the Mount by December. And you guys will be so much looking like Jesus. You can't even contain it because you were here every time I preached. It was going to be so good. Last week we talked about, we started out Matthew 5 and we talked about the Beatitudes, which was hashtag blessed. Who was blessed this week? Did you find out some new blessings, some of you, that realized what blessing really was? So we talked about blessed. And this week we're going to continue on. Like I said, we finished in verse 12 and now we're jumping into verse 13 because we're going through it verse by verse. So Matthew 5, starting in verse 13, if you have your Bible. If not, look at the screen. If you don't own a Bible, before you leave today, we have Bibles at the hub, and they will give you one. There's nothing you have to do for it. It's just take one. If someone out there says that you have to do a crazy dance to get it, tell me. I'll find them. Sometimes they like to play practical jokes, all right? So, no, they won't tell you to do that. Go get a Bible. Take it home. Mark it up. Read it. It's alive and active. We really believe that. It's still relevant. It was written so long ago. It's still relevant today, and we believe that. So, Matthew 5, verse 13. Let's read this together, and then we'll just go on into it. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Everyone say flavor. Flavor. Everyone say flavor. Flavor. No, don't. Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Right. Sorry about that. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Before I pray, remember, Jesus is on top of a mountain and he's preaching this sermon that we're going to go through this year. And we call it the grand reversal. And the reason why is because everything he says goes completely against his culture. And I don't know about you, but if the church looks a lot like culture, I'm not saying we don't get involved with culture, but if we start looking exactly like culture, we weren't really called to be like culture out there. We were called the reverse culture. And he says the grand reversal. So what you think blessed is, like we learned last week, this is actually what blessing is. And then he goes on to this thing called salt and light. And so if you are taking notes, the name of this message is called Stay Salty, Shine Brightly. Now, some of you look at it like, cool, I can continue being a jerk. Not that kind of salty. We'll talk about that. Some of you are the salty, and I'm glad you're here. You came to the right place. We need to get that saltiness out of your life. But in this context, we need you to stay salty and shine brightly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this message. Holy Spirit, speak this like you spoke it to me. I pray, Father God, that we would lean in. That it says in your word, Father God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So let us hear today. Let's prepare our hearts today. If we came in with blocks and guards around our heart, Father God, from your word, I pray that we would lean in now. And Lord, I pray whatever is grabbing our attention and focus right now, that it would be you. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Like I said, guys, I just have crazy stories up the gazoo because I don't know anything besides crazy stories. And me and my wife kind of have this joke that we've been doing since we got married, maybe because when we started dating. And she's from North Carolina. So in North Carolina, iced tea is not iced tea. In the South, iced tea is not iced tea. If you say, can I get an iced tea, you're not going to get iced tea. You're going to get sweet tea with an extra sweet on the side, right? You can't say, give me iced tea, because then they say, I want some iced tea. He says, do you want sweet or unsweet? I'm like, I want iced tea. I don't want sweet tea. I want iced tea. But you can't get away. Here, her family was just here, you know, last week, and they'll say, can I get an iced tea? And then they'll go, oh, this isn't iced tea. I'm like, yeah, that's iced tea. You wanted sweet tea, right? Right? I don't know, but we have this thing. Have you ever, like, been so excited about drinking something? Like, you were just so thirsty, right? And you're just excited to get that, maybe a Coca-Cola or a Mountain Dew or whatever it is that you have. Like, whatever it is, you're getting ready to drink it, and you're ready for that sweet, you know, like, taste, like a sweet tea. And then you go to drink it, and it's water. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that just, like, talk about ruining your life, right? Like, that right there. Like, Sean, you need to get over yourself. No, but my wife and I have this joke that sometimes, like, she'll order something or I'll order something, and we switch drinks just to see their reaction when they drink something that wasn't what they ordered to drink. Because it's the funnest, because you think, like, it's going to be Coke, and then you're drinking, like, Welch's grape juice, and you're just like, oh, my gosh. It's just so much fun. It's like, or you go to drink, you know, something sweet and you give them like some water. Or they're going to drink water and you give them like straight up Mountain Dew, like with this espresso shot in it and something else in it, just to like. And I think like there's been times where I've ordered a pop, or there's been times that I've wanted sweet tea and I actually get iced tea. And I realized that flavor wasn't there that I wanted. And I don't know, I think maybe Jesus realized in this, maybe it happened to him a couple times. Maybe he went through McDonald's and he ordered a drink because they're a dollar for the large. And he ordered it. And when he ordered it, he went to drink it. And he was like, oh, that's not what I ordered. I want some flavor. And then he's like, there's a message in there. I'm going to preach that Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. And so he turns around and says, hey, listen, Christians, guys, people are expecting you to be flavorful, but you come up being flavorless. And we just flipped it like that. The grand reversal from a McDonald's drink. Tell me I can't preach about something. Come on. We have so many people that we were actually created to bring flavor into the world, and they're expecting us to be flavor, and they're expecting it to be sweet, and they're expecting it to be encouraging. And what they get sometimes, if we want to be real, because we all have weak days, we come out being flavorless when we were supposed to be flavorful. And this, he says, I don't want my church to look like that. I don't want my church to get this idea and talk a big talk that they're so sweet and they have so much flavor, but when people reach them, it's like drinking iced tea when they wanted sweet tea. Like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. And I know we have weak moments, and so I guess what he's trying to say first and foremost in the scripture is that we need to be flavorful. He says this. He says, stay salty. In Matthew 5, he goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Now, I got a lot of stuff to talk about, so I hope you're taking notes, because the main thing I want you to focus on is that we need to be salt and light, but I'm going to talk about how they work. So when he said salt, you have to realize at this time that they didn't have Samsung refrigerators and LG refrigerators. They didn't have freezers. They didn't have electricity. So they didn't have these things. So what would happen would meat would rot. So when meat would be cut up or be butchered, it would rot really fast because they didn't have something to keep it cool. So he would actually say, you are the salt of the earth. And what does salt do? It preserves. So they would take meat and they would wrap it in salt or coat it in salt or put it in salt water to prevent it from, well, not prevent it, to slow down the process of rotting. Because ultimately, no matter how much salt you put on it, it's going to get to the point where it rots, but it slows down the rot. Did you guys know that Jesus is so audacious with his claim for us believers that he is telling us that there's people that you come in contact with when you leave that are actually rotting, that are hurting, that are broken, and maybe we can't stop them from doing that, but there's one thing we can do with our good works. We can preserve them long enough so that they don't have to listen to that hurt, so they don't have to listen to that pain. He says, listen, we may not stop the rot, but we can help slow down the rot in their life. You are the salt of the earth. You're here to preserve these people. You're here to preserve those things, not just in the church, but outside the church. There's a lot of times I've realized that there's people who don't know Jesus yet that he's asked me still to be salt to. Why? So that I can slow down the process so that someone else can come in and preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ through our works. They preserve. And not just preserve, as you go on to look into salt, salt doesn't just preserve, it spices, it seasons. My father-in-law was cooking some steak last week, and we have spices and rubs that we put on steak, and we, you know, make it like flavorful. That's what the spices are for, to bring out the best taste in the meat. Some people can ruin the meat by putting too much spices on it. Now you don't got any meat, you just got spice, and some people like that. It's like, you know, using A1 sauce with a good steak, you know, like, it's like, I love A1 sauce, but if the steak is that good, if you know I don't pour any A1 sauce on my plate after you cook steak, you did good. If I pour A1 sauce, don't take offense. Just know it wasn't that good, right? Like, I had... I've cooked my own steaks I had to use A1 sauce for, so that's what I'm just saying. Salt would be used as a spice. It would actually be put on meat to bring out the flavor. It would season it. I love this because what is Jesus trying to say as far as spicing it up, bringing flavor into these things? I don't know. I guess that the church has a tendency to, like, do the same thing for 40 years because it worked back then. And so instead of being salty, we just try doing redoing the same thing that worked 40 years ago and wondering why it's not working today. He says, you need to spice it up. You need to add flavor. Does the message change? Absolutely not. But the method can. You got to spice it up. We were on our way to Elevate this past week. I had the privilege of sharing with their youth there. And it was so much fun. But I took Jake Cunningham, who comes here, him and his wife Alicia, and Skyler came with me, who's running the computer, and we went out there, and we had a good time. Skyler could not stop talking. He just talked the whole time. We were trying to say, Skyler, he doesn't talk. That's why it was a joke, if you knew Skyler. And on the way there, if you guys don't know, we're preparing for our student ministry here at Authentic Church. We're getting ready to launch that in August, which is pretty exciting. There it is. And so Jake and Alicia Cunningham are actually going to be helping with that. They're going to be the ones kind of leading that and everything, and they have a heart for it, and they're so passionate about it, and we're excited. And so Jake has been coming up with ideas on what to do, and I'm just trying to train him a little bit on how to be flavorful, how to stay spicy, right? Because it's easy to do the same things we've always known, and on the way there, he gave me some ideas, and he was driving, and I was looking through them, and Skyler was in the back, who is in high school. Jake is 32. I'm 29. Skyler is in high school. He's 15. And he told us he was born in 2003. And Jake's like, you don't know about Y2K? He's like, Y2 what? It's like, never mind. It obviously wasn't that big of a deal. And he goes, so I was thinking, Sean, when people come in, you know, we're just going to hang out, do some icebreakers, maybe play some Pictionary. And I didn't want to hurt him or burst his bubble. But in my mind, I was like, Pictionary? Now, some of you older people are like, yeah, Pictionary's the best, Sean. What's wrong with it? I get it, right? You should have saw me. I looked back at Skyler, and he was back there like, oh, gosh. I was like, Skyler. I looked at him. I was like, hey, Skyler's with us. And so me being the bad guy. Skyler, what would you think if you invited four of your friends to come out to Tribe, our authentic students, and you came in, the first thing Jake said was, hey, get around a circle. We're going to play Pictionary. He's like, I'm not coming back. That's what he's. I mean, he was just being real. He's like, I was like, so what would you want to do? He's like, I mean, if you play Pictionary, cool, but how about the loser gets a pie in the face? You know, how about, you know, like someone with fidget spinners or something with bottle flipping? And what's crazy is what happens in churches is people, like, we look down on the students for the stupid things they like. Yet you were dumb and young too. You like stupid things too. Let's just be real. You still like them. And what we do is we don't listen to him, but he's saying, listen, I don't want to play Pictionary, but if you get a giant hand like Jimmy Fallon and we play Slapjack and you smack someone across the face, you better believe I'm bringing 10 friends to that party. But when the message comes, Jake's going to preach the gospel, but the method needs to be spiced up. Jesus is saying, come on. Season, spice it up, add some flavor. Nothing speaks volumes than when we embrace our culture, not to be a part of it, we're in the world, not of it, but we bring Jesus to it. That's why we have fun here. That's why we like the smile. Why? Because we're spicing it up, because for so long the church has been dead. We're not here to be dead. Our Savior is much alive, and his church should be too. We should be thanking and praising. Spice seasons. Paul in Colossians said this. Paul said this as he encouraged people in the church of Colossians. He said, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Think that next time, I'm just going to say it, you post on Facebook. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Be wise in the way you act towards those who don't believe yet. Be wise to those that you don't have the same beliefs as they do. Be wise to those who say some words in front of your kids that you don't say. Be wise. Why? Because they didn't have the same upbringing as you. Be wise towards outsiders. Look at, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always, everyone say always.
Always.
Not, oh, there's time for me to be a seasoned, there's time for me to be a jerk. You know what I'm saying? Be always, always, always full of grace. Seasoned with salt. Paul, the one who writes half the New Testament, is telling us how to behave towards the outsiders. And he says the same things from the Sermon on the Mount. Season it with salt. You remember that time, guys, when Jesus took you under his wing and he said, you are the salt of the earth? What he was saying is you need to figure out how you're talking to those outside the church. Because if you're burning more bridges than bringing people in, then you need to change your conversation. It may not be what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. I heard someone say, we are called to be a bridge towards Christ. Jesus is the bridge towards God, but we got to be bridges. And we wonder why people walk all over us, because you're a bridge. When you're a bridge, people walk on you. But it's up to us to forgive and to love and to spice it up and realize that we don't have to win the argument. Let's continue to bring season with salt. When there's people outside the church, don't act like you have it all together. If I can remind you, just remind yourself what you were like before you got into this place. And have grace for him. And he says, you're the salt of the earth. Season your conversations with salt. Make it flavorful. What is he saying? Make it so it's palatable for them. If they can't eat what you're saying, you're not seasoning it with salt. Now, there's some people who just don't want to hear what you have to say. I get that. But that doesn't mean that we don't season it with salt. Make it palatable for them. Let them eat it. They want to know. He says, you are salt of the earth. You are salt of the earth. And then the last thing it does is it creates thirst. It creates thirst. Okay, we're doing good. It creates thirst. You see, there was one time that my grandma, who is amazing, she's a prayer warrior, and her husband pastor a church 15 minutes from here, and that's actually the people who believed in me when I feel like I had a gift to preach and share. They took me in and said, you can do our youth and young adults, and I did it, and poured everything into that, and they gave me an opportunity. They believed in me. They still believe in me, and one time I was being smart or something, and I was so frustrated with someone maybe on our team or when I was at Vision or something like that, which is our young adult, or I was frustrated with someone in my life, or I was just frustrated. And, you know, young people, now that we're back here, I know you got cool games and stuff, but there's a lot of people in your life who have a lot of wisdom who've been through stuff you haven't been through yet, so you need to listen to them because they're trying to prevent you from going through the same heartache they went through. So listen, old people, to the people who have games, and games, kids, listen to the people who have wisdom because they're going to help you and tell you not to touch that electric fence because it hurts, right? So, because they've done it. And my grandma, I was so frustrated. I said, you know what, grandma, I'm just done. I was like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I was so mad. I was just like, I was so mad I used a phrase from like the 1920s, right? That's how mad I was. So you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. And my grandma, her soft widow voice, she's like this tall. She grabs my shoulder and she looks at me right in my face and says, but you better believe you can salt that horse's tongue. Come on, Grandma. What was she saying? She's saying, Sean, when you've done everything you can do, when you get so frustrated, let your life shine so bright that it makes them thirsty for the kingdom of God. It makes them thirsty for his word. It makes them thirsty to get passionate. Your words may not go, but your life will. If you're salt, they'll say, I want what he has. I want what their marriage has. I want what that church has. What's going on? You're creating a thirst. She says, you know what? Maybe when you're frustrated with trying to do it in your own works, just add a little bit of salt on their tongue. How do you do that? Be the salt of the earth. Salt creates thirst. Have you ever gone to the movies? I can't stand the movies. I love the movies, but I can't stand them because you're going to get popcorn. And the thing is as many times as you want to go to Schnucks before you go there, or you want to go to Dollar Tree before you go there to get your drinks, you're not going to be able to get the popcorn. Integra, Sean, you should be buying... They don't ever stop me, right? Like, and I realized that as soon as you buy the popcorn, you know you're going to have to buy a drink because you are going to be so thirsty by the third bite you take. They're geniuses. 85% of their profit in movie theaters today is from their concessions. 85%. Guys, we are been sucked in, lured, and we just been made. Like, there's like, he's got, we complain about the 6-hour drink while paying for it, right? Gosh, popcorn's $8, take my money. And I've realized in my life, I've realized that I can't buy popcorn without having something to drink. And if we could be the salt of the earth, we could make people so thirsty by our actions that they're filling this place up, that they can't, there's no more room to contend, that we're going to have to go to another experience, that we're going to have to plant another campus. Why? Because your life is being salt and making people thirsty. You're not just saying it. Your life is showing it. Your marriage is showing it. Your gentleness is showing it. Your patience is showing it. Your job and work ethic, it's showing it. And when they say, what is different about her? Why is she still saying, even though she's a single mom, I'll tell you why. Because she's on her knees every morning. She's asking God for help every day, and she's making them thirsty. Are you making someone thirsty in your life? Is your life making someone? He's saying you're the salt of the earth. Make someone thirsty. Make them thirsty. Why? Because Jesus is the living water that will quench their thirst. And when they ask, you tell them, I was thirsty once, and then Jesus stepped in. So everyone say, stay salty. Stay salty, and then it's shine, shine brightly. He goes on to say, starting in verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. I don't know if you guys have this game, but I play this game at home. It's something I've done since a child. I'm terrified of spiders. I hate spiders. And I know. You guys always tag me on Facebook of all the spider things. I get it. Like, I get it. I'm terrified of, hey, Sean, open up your Facebook. Look at giant spiders, right? Right before bed. And but there's something else I'm not fond of, and I don't know why. I don't like darkness. I don't know if I'm terrified of it. I just don't like it. It's just dark, right? And when I'm in my house, I've seen a lot of horror movies that my mom told me not to watch as a kid, but I like rebelled and watched them anyways. And now all those movies I've watched have now haunted me in my 29-year-old life. And at my house, right outside of our bathroom, we have a hallway. And in this hallway, the light switch is by the living room, so it's over here. And we have this long hallway, and then we go up the steps and into our bedroom, right? And so in order for that light to work, I have to turn it on over here, but when I'm done, I have to turn the light off over here, and I got about a 20 to 30 foot walk to get up to our room. And I don't know if you've ever played this game before, but if I have to get up in the middle of the night because I did drink all that pop at the movie theater from eating all that salt, and what I do is I have this game that as soon as I turn that light off, I have a 30 foot gap to get to my bed, and it's going to be pitch black. I don't know what it is about it, but I've realized that when you turn off the light, something just shows up behind you. Anybody else? I mean, you should see me. It's like the Olympics is on. I turn into Usain Bolt in a second. I'm just like, I'm stretching. I'm like, all right. Like right here. And then all of a sudden, boom, and I'm booking it, right? Am I the only one? Like, as soon as the light goes off, something's chasing you. But as soon as you get into your bed or to another light source, it's like he's like, oh, I can't go in there. And he like backs away, just backs away. It's real life, guys. I am in a movie when this happens. Liz will like, I'll jump in bed and wake her up. She goes, are you okay? And I'm like, boo, 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 boo. I'm like, I made it. And I don't know about you, but I've realized now, instead of waking my wife up, I grab my phone and I take it with me because I have a flashlight app on my phone. So as soon as I turn off that light, I'm already got my flashlight. I'm like, what now? It's like my force field. You can't touch this, right? And I realized as Christians, like we kind of have this tendency of always running away from the darkness. Like we're always just like, as soon as we leave, okay, guys, as soon as we leave the church building, it's McDonald's and then it's home. McDonald's, home. Don't look at one. Don't talk to anybody. Don't help anybody. By God, don't help anybody. Instead, book it. Get home. Because it's dark out there. And God said, no, but you have a flashlight. It's never dark around you, believer. You have a flash. So instead of fleeing from the darkness, God's saying, you are the light of the world. Flee towards the darkness. Run wherever is the darkest. Because as soon as you step in it, you're going to light it up. He says, you're salt and you're light. Stop fleeing from darkness. We train our kids from the beginning to flee from darkness instead of teaching them how to be light in a dark world. We got to teach them that. And he says, you're like a city on a hill. Remember, no electricity. I got to get through this. You're a city on a hill. There's no electricity, right? No electricity. You're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You can't hide light. We talked about that at Dark Easter. I'm not going to go into that, right? Light doesn't disappear because of what darkness does. Light disappears because of what the light doesn't do. Darkness can't overtake light. It's when light is turned off that darkness wins. So as long as light's shining, dark can't win it. He says, you're like that. You're a city on a hill. Just like a city was built on a hill back in those times to protect them from military, like they would put them on a hill because it's harder to retreat, harder to advance. And when you would come up, there was no electricity, no pollution. If you've ever been way up north, we used to go to the cabins in Hayward, Wisconsin in past, and there's like nothing out there besides lakes. There's no like service, like your phone's off for the entire week. I know, high school kid, take a breath. All right, no Wi-Fi. And when you're out there, we've been out on the boat fishing at midnight, and you just sit back, and it's so beautiful. You can't even, you're like, where was this? It was always there. You can see satellites reflecting because it's so clear, moving throughout the sky. And he says, like, just like there's no electricity, when you walk up on a town, you see a city that's lit up, he's like, you're supposed to stand out like that. That you catch the people's attention. That when people are in the middle of dark, they see it. That you stand out. And he says, you are to now be dangerous to darkness. My call as a pastor, honestly, is as these doors are opening up, as I told the youth on Wednesday, and as I get this shared within our church, I really feel like God has put in my heart to remind churches that they're dangerous to darkness. And I love that I get to say that because we actually have a church who is dangerous to darkness, so I don't just go and say it. I actually can believe it because I've seen it in Pontiac, a church who says, no more are we going to just suffice with what's going on in our culture. We're going to do whatever it takes to be light. And darkness is fleeing in Pontiac, Illinois because of a church named Authentic Church who's rising up to the call and who's fighting against the darkness of evil. He says, shine bright, but he said, and he goes on to say this, he goes, no one would light a lamp and then put a basket over it. So he says, the people would look at Jesus like he's crazy right now. He said, why would you light a lamp and then cover it? Randy, could you just kill the lights for me right now? That was fast. Thanks. He says, no one in a house would light a lamp and then cover it with a basket. No one would light it and then cover it. And I want to first say, I had to use basket because I thought this was cool. At this time, they thought Jesus was crazy. Like, they're like, duh. Like, why would you do that? You see, at that time, it was oil lamps that was burning fire. And so they would light that up. And he was, what he was not saying, guys, he was not saying that as soon as you cover it, the light goes out. That's not what he was saying. The light is still on. It's just hindered by the basket towards its impact. He's not saying that the light goes out. He's saying if you're covering it, the only thing that's shining bright is inside that basket. Now, I got to talk a little bit more about this because as I was talking to the kids this Wednesday, I really thought it was encouragement to let people know that my assignment today, really, as you are light, is to remind you to burn your baskets. Burn your baskets. Because Jesus said, don't light a lamp and then cover it. Because the thing is even though you can see a little bit more light, it's hindering the impact it could be making. And I think there's a lot of people who have light, but their impact could be a far greater. But they got some baskets that are covering it. And you can leave the lights off for a second. And as I thought about that, I was encouraging them to burn their baskets because there's a lot of people, if we're honest, we have some baskets. If it's fear, if it's rejection, maybe you're scared of what people are going to think when you do that, or you invite them to church, or you tell them about Christ, or you tell them what God's done in your life. You know, when you actually be light, you know, when you actually do something that is actually, like, constructive, that's when it comes out. And he says, don't hide it. I want you to burn it. I want you to burn the basket. And so I was just thinking about this. I thought it's kind of crazy how when we look at this basket, we've kind of, if we were honest, the church building has become a basket. I didn't say the church. You can turn the lights back on. I can't see them. I want to see the reaction. Oh, yeah. I didn't say the church. Remember, who's the church? The ones filling the seats. The ones in the chairs right now, we are the church. The church is alive. It's active. The brick and mortar is not the church, but we are the church. But I think what happens is we've allowed the church building to become the basket. Like, we're in a basket right now. If we were honest, like, Pontiac's a lot bigger than in the building that we're in right now. But we have a way of making the light go crazy in here when we're here. But as soon as we walk out, basket. And we've allowed the church to even become a basket. It is scary. This week, we were encouraging our staff, and we were talking to our team, and, you know, we were encouraging myself. And the first and third Mondays, we, like, have leadership and vision cast, and we try to encourage our staff. And as we were there, I kind of pulled a swift one on them, and I pulled my hat off, and I said, hey, I want everyone on a piece of paper. It can be anonymous. I want you to write down how many people you have invited to church in the past month. Now, some of you, just imagine yourself at that table right now. Yeah, now you're like, oh, crap. Like, it was about them. Now it's about me. Actually, get my hat. No, I'm just kidding. And they begin to fill them out. And we have this one person at our table, you know, who we already knew what he was going to put, so we kind of just threw his number off to the side because he doesn't count. Anyway, so we all fill them out, and we begin to go through them. And honestly, guys, it was pretty sobering to see how low the number was. I'm just being real. For all of us, for my sake, too, it was pretty low. It was pretty sobering to see the number. I really felt like God was encouraging me to encourage our team that not that we would just say it, but that we would be out and be a light, that we would invite people to church, that we would look every day for an opportunity to bring someone to our church if you believe in it. If you don't, then I'm just telling you, maybe find the church that you do believe in and get plugged in there. But if you believe in what God's doing here, to be that person that can invite them, or even go the step further, the best step, and don't wait for them to get here. Invite them to Christ right there. Because we all can do that. It's not up to the pastor to invite them to Christ, but you can bring them to church if you're working on it. And we begin to encourage them. And Rachel Steininger, again, I'm picking on her, but she was our executive assistant, and she, like, was terrified of it. She doesn't do that, you know, and our numbers were low. And sure enough, we challenged everybody to do it. And she sent us a text that she was at Walmart. And while she was at Walmart, she finally realized, because Monday, the staff meeting, because now I'm going to hold them accountable every month to find out how many people they have, so that it's, like, hanging over their head. Yeah, I do that. And, hey, if we want to be leaders, we got to lead you guys. We got to be where we want to call you to be. And so she sent us this text, and it was really cool. And she goes, guys, I was at Walmart, and I finally invited my first stranger. And she was like, this whole book. And she goes, I invited her, and she grabbed my hand, and she goes, thank you so much for telling me. I got to check this place out. And she's like, I was so encouraged. I wanted to go and invite the whole town. It's pretty exciting. It's crazy how that went through. There will be a time you feel rejected. But I guess what I was trying to say is, you know what Rachel did? She burned one of her baskets. She realized there was a basket over her light, and she burnt it. Could we be a church that our flame is so hot, our flame is so powerful, that it would burn through any kind of basket that tries to contain us, that our flame would be so hot, our passion would be so wild, that every time a basket comes up, it goes up in flames because we can't contain the light that's underneath that. We don't need baskets. We got to burn the baskets. So I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's worry. The only way to burn it is by doing it. It's by doing it. Remember, fan the flame, the gift got put in you. The flame gets bigger the more you practice it. It's going to be scary. It's going to be hard. But I would encourage you, not just inviting people, but paying for someone's lunch, sharing the love of Christ, maybe just sharing your testimony, what God has done for you here. Because a lot of people just want to hear stories and relate. I mean, don't just throw a card at them and say, hey, we'll see you Sunday. I use the card as a reminder. Like, hey, after I invite them, just in case you forget, there's the times on there. Because I want to be personable. Because I really do care that they find Jesus. There's a person who is no longer on this earth anymore. No longer on this earth. A young kid. This week, again, that we see another tragedy happen in our community. But I can't help but believe, because of your light and because of what you did, I remember him being here at the end of the year for a few weeks, and he responded to Jesus Christ when we asked if someone wanted salvation. He stood up with his hand raised high and said, I want Jesus. I don't know what happened after that, but he's no longer here. And I can just believe that because of your light, that one more person is in heaven because that you burned your baskets. It matters. It matters. This isn't just a thing. It matters. He goes on to say, burn the basket. And then the worship team, you guys can come on up. He says, burn your basket. No one hides it. And then it also says, instead, you put it on a stand so it lights up the whole room. So I guess I wouldn't encourage you, stay salty, shine brightly, burn your basket, and when you find your stand, take a stand. You see, it says that you put the lamp on a stand. And I don't know about you, but you don't even realize it. God has placed you on a stand. You have a stand. Your stand is your sphere of influence. Your stand is your workplace. Your stand is your school, summer school, if you will. Your stand is maybe your family. Your stand is somewhere in this community. Maybe you're in sports. Maybe you're on the sports team right now. Maybe you're the star player, young man. You are on a stand. God has placed you on a stand to shine brightly. Don't just burn your basket. Find out the stand that God has put you on. Because when you find that out, it's no longer just a baseball game. Now it's how many people on my baseball team can I get to meet Jesus while I hit a home run? Because keep hitting home runs, because that makes it look better. Then they'll look up to you. Your stand just gets higher and higher every home run you make. But every time your stand gets higher, he says in this scripture, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your God in heaven. So when you find your stand, ask yourself this: are you on the stand for your glory or for God's glory? Because here's my stand. To be honest with you, you guys have it harder than I do. I get to hide in my office and pray and ask God for vision to talk to a bunch of church people. You guys are the one involved in this culture, in job places, in workplaces, in prisons, in cop cars. Here's my stand. God has brought this to be my stand. He says, Sean, this is your stand, shine brightly, but it's to glorify me and I get the glory. When's the last time, let's think about this, that you shine so brightly that people responded by thanking God that you showed up right in the nick of time? When's the last time that you shine so brightly, instead of looking at you, they look past you and said, God heard my prayer and he used you to answer it? When you stop to fix that person's tire, why am I so emotional the last 3 weeks, guys? Why you fixed that tire? They looked through you and said, you have no idea. I was praying in my car because I don't have OnStar. I didn't know who to call. I've never been taught how to change this. And I said, God, could you just help me? And you showed up. Why? So God could get glory. God has placed you on a stand. He's placed you on a stand to shine bright, to stay salty and to shine bright. So when you leave this place today, you can realize, okay, God, what's my stand? And when you find out what your stand is, take a stand. Take a stand. You know, you will be rejected sometimes. There will be things that happen in your life, and I always say rejection was the best thing that ever happened to me, because at the end of the day, when I was rejected, I found out it didn't kill me. I'm still alive. And I want to encourage you today as a church, if we're salty and we shine brightly, we'll be praying for these seeds to fill. We'll be adding experiences. But do you know what will fill these things? Is when we are just what God asked us to be. Salt and light. Stay salty. Shine brightly. So our God can get all the glory. All the praise. So burn your baskets. Where's your basket? It says in Ephesians 5, 7 through 9, don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good, what is right, and what is true. It goes on to say, it says, if you are dead, it says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I don't know about you, but I want Christ shining on me. I want to be a light. But if you're here today, you said, Sean, when you were talking about the baskets, I realized I got some fear in my life. I want to invite some people. I want to tell some people that I got a basket. I'm scared of people approval and what they think of me. I'm scared if I'm going to get made fun of. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. I don't know what your basket is. But if you were honest today and said, Sean, I have a basket. I have a basket in my life, and I need prayer that this basket would be burned. We're going to burn some baskets today. We're going to burn some baskets. If you're here and you have a basket, and you say, Sean, I want to get rid of that, could you just stand to your feet? You say, I want to burn a basket in my life today. Not everyone, if this is your first time, don't feel like you have to, but if you say, there's some baskets in my life that I want to burn in my life to prevent, because I want my light to be impactful. I want to shine brighter than I've ever shined before. And I know I got some baskets in my life that's preventing me from doing that. Praise God. Just stay standing. It's all right. We're going to burn these baskets. If it's fear, if it's rejection, if it's worry, With you standing up, just go ahead and stay standing. If you're here today and you said, Sean, I want to shine bright, but I've never made a decision to follow Christ, and I want Jesus in my life. If that's you and you say, I want Jesus in my life, I'm empty, I'm broken, I need change in my heart and my life. I've realized his name is Jesus, and no longer am I putting this off. I need light in my life. And you say, Sean, could you pray for me that I would receive Christ today? With those standing up, stay standing. But if you could lift up your hand and say, I want to receive Christ today. Today's my day to receive Christ. If not, that's fine. But every week, I leave an opportunity for someone to receive Christ, because that's what it's always about. If not, then we're going to pray for the baskets, the basket cases. Everyone say, I'm a basket case. And this basket's going to be burned. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. Lord, we pray, Father God, I'm included. I have a basket in my own life. There's some things that I've been struggling with, Father God. Man, I have such a bad ego. I care too much sometimes what people think, and that can hinder my light. So I pray that as my basket is being burned, Father God, it's a process, but I pray that you begin to burn the baskets, Father God, in here. I pray if it's fear, if it's anxiety, if it's worry, I pray, Father God, that you would burn those things, Father, so that we will let our light shine even brighter than it ever has been before. I pray, Father God, that people would see our works and they would look to you, Jesus, that they would see our loving acts, our saltiness, our light, Father. And I pray, Father God, that in return, that people would see the glory of God. I pray, Father God, that baskets have to be burned right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to burn these baskets. Transform us from the inside out. We don't want to hide what you're doing in our life anymore. And we look to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hold on one more second. As I was looking at this, I realized as I talked about the stand and the stand that God's put us on, just right now, I feel like God wants me to share this. As soon as we put that on the stand, I realized as we look at our Savior, Jesus, Jesus was placed on the stand. It was called the cross. And he shined bright on that thing. Because sometimes the brightest shining you can see is a selfless act of love. And the reason why we own a stand right now is because Jesus took a stand on the cross. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his love. But he said, this is my stand. And he took it proudly, and he didn't jump down from that thing because he could. And he took it, and his light shined bright. What does that mean for us? It may not be a cross, but it's going to take sacrifice to shine bright this week. But sacrifice what your flesh is telling you to do, and look at the cross every time you want to quit, because he didn't give up. He didn't give up. Can we all stand together? I'm going to pray over us, and we're going to sing this song one more time. Lord, we thank you again that you took the stand. You took the cross, and we thank you for it. I pray, Father God, this week, Lord, that this word wouldn't just be something that gives us goosebumps. This word would be something that moves us to action. We need light in Pontiac. We need salt in Pontiac. We need light in Livingston County. We need salt in Livingston County, and you have asked us to do it. So, Lord, I pray whoever we come in contact with, I pray wherever we go from here, that we are not fleeing from darkness, but we are shining so bright, Father God, that people will see you, that they won't just experience you on Sundays, they will experience you every day of the week, because the church has left the building and the church is infiltrating Pontiac, and nothing will ever be the same. This town's going to be flipped upside down, and you have asked us to be a part of it. So burn the baskets in our life. Put us on a stand and let us give you glory for everything we do, even if we're mocked for it, even if we're talked down because of it. I pray that we would stay salty and we would shine brightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for him and his word today. We're going to go into this song one more time. I encourage you right now to sing it with everything you have as we see the darkness disappear.